Okay, I wanted to discuss with you today. I want to break away from our Aleph Beis.
That's what he wanted to do.
We're up to the letter Zion in the Aleph Beis, but today I want to take a break from the Aleph Beis and discuss with you the Minug of Shoivadin. I have to confess that I never heard of this minig until much, much later in life. When I was in elementary school, not a word. When I was in high school, not a word, which is a chiddush. Not a word. Even in Beis Medrash, not a word. Until I got a little older, what is this thing? I saw signs, Shoivadin. I did not hear this until recent times. What in the world is this thing called Shoivadin? First of all, most people pronounce it, I've discovered, Shoivivim. There's no such word, Shoivivim. It comes from a pasuk in Yirmiyah. There really are two psukim. Shuvu vonim Shoivavim. With a comma, Shoivavim. Now, it appears, you can't second guess Klal Yisrael. The minhag is to say Shoivivim and not to say Shoivavim. It appears because the word Shoivavim is a very negative word. It means rebellious children, wayward, backwards, to go backwards. People that are, not only are they sinners, they're in the process of becoming even greater sinners. They're making their way backwards. So it's a very negative term. So I'm assuming that's why the minig is bedafka. Don't say a bad word. Don't say the word shoivavim. Take the word and play with it and say shoivim because why? Why am I saying this? Because it really comes from when do we practice this minig? When does this minig really practice? During the word shoivavim is also Rosh Tevos, Shemos, Vo'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro, and Mishpatim. During these 6 weeks of the year is when we have a custom to focus on doing teshuva. So since these words spell out, these are the Rosh Tevos for the Parshios of the year, starting from Shemos through Parshas Mishpatim, and also happens to be a word in Yirmiyah of Shuvu, do the purpose, we'll see in a few moments, of the purpose, the minig is to repent, to do teshuva, to fast, to do, we'll discuss exactly what the teshuva is for, what it's about. But being that the word refers to two things, the parshios, and also refers to the pasuk in Yirmiyah of Shoivavim, so I'm assuming the custom is not to say Shoivavim, but to say Shoivim. That's what you say to the mistake.
Yeah.
Ignorance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ignorance.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm not... like a lot of other things. Okay, there are... okay, fine, I'm not coming to... I'm not arguing. I accept. But... because I told someone, what are you speaking about? I said, I'm talking about Shoivavim. They said, you mean Shoivavim. So, I don't know. I'm not arguing. I lean more to agree with you than disagree. But I've been proven wrong many times in different customs where it appears to be wrong, and I've been shown that that you're right, it's wrong. But yet the minhag is to say in a certain way for various reasons. The classic example is shalom bias. Is it shalom bias? Shalom. Grammatically, it should be shalom bias. But the minhag ha'olam is to say shalom bias. So what is this all about? So someone, a very big Talmud Chacham, explained to me that it's true. Grammatically, when you match the two words together, it's shalom bayis. But where does this concept come from? It comes from Pasuk in Iyov. And there it says, V'yodata, you shall see to it, ki shalom oiholecha, that there shall be peace in your home. There it means, you shall, peace in the home only comes through work, through effort. V'yodata, you shall see to it. It's not going to happen by itself. By default, the home is a place of chaos. It's a place of strife. If you want there to be peace in the home, work on it. V'yodata, see to it. Ki that shalom, there will be peace, oiholecha, in your tent. This pasuk was paraphrased in two words, shalom bayis. If you would say shalom bayis, the way it's grammatically correct, when you put the two words together, that means the house is peaceful. Shalom, the peace of the home. The home is a peaceful place. That's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says v'yodata ki shaloi moholecha. So the connotation is an expression, you shall see to it that there shall be. This person further went on to explain to me that, you listen to the radio. What do they say on the radio? The White House issued a statement today that there's no, we're not going to fall off the cliff, the fiscal cliff. We're not going to fall off. Now, let me say, does the White House talk? Did you ever hear a White House speak? It's an expression. It's a very rich expression which represents that the body of government, the highest authority of government, has issued a statement through the president, through the press secretary, and through this one to that one, what's going to be. So he said to me, why do you think the Hebrew language is any different than every other language? The White House doesn't make any sense. It's an expression. Shalom Bayis is an expression which carries within it a lot of richness, a lot of depth. It represents, it captures the theme of a pasuk, V'yodata ki shalom oy halecha. If you're going to take the two words and just make it into a focus on the grammar of the two words, you're destroying the richness, the depth of what the concept means. And then, for and also, he told me as well that Shalom Bayis means Hashem's name is Shalom. Ish v'isha shalom b'neihem, shechina b'neihem. So shalom means Hashem's name. When there's peace at the home, there Hashem, the shalom is in the bayis. We discussed yesterday, shalom is one of Hashem's names. You can't even erase the vav. You can't even break the vav. So there's so much depth and meaning in an expression. Don't just... So I've been proven wrong there when I used to say shalom bayis. This Talmud Chacham showed me wrong that it's not Shalom, it's Shomais. So therefore I always second guess myself when I say people are wrong. I say Shoivavim because the Pasuk Shuvavim Shoivavim, but everyone I know says Shoivavim. I don't know, who am I to say? What do I know? I just know this from the
one person that knows that.
But okay, but so we don't really know. There's obviously a lot of depth in everything that we discussed. That's wrong. We're going with that. Now one point I want to make, very interesting point I found, is that there are really two psukim and yimya that describe this, that have this expression, the same parak of shuvu vanim shoyvavim. First in parak in yimya parakim pasuk gedal, shuvu vanim shoyvavim lum Hashem ki anochi bo'alti vochem. I am your boss. I am your Adon. The word Baalti means your master. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, return, do tshuva, you wayward children. I'm in charge of you. I'm telling you to do tshuva, you better do tshuva. And then later in the parak it says, shuvu vanim shayvavim, erpa, I will heal you, Hashem, I will heal you mishuvoy seichem, from your backsliding. So in this one parak we have the same expression, Bonim Shoivavim. One pasuk has been used in reference from the perspective of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Ba'alti Yeschem, and later in the parak it's being used from the perspective of Klal Yisrael, I will heal you. And from this we learn that there are, when a person, it's a very deep concept, when a person sins, he goes away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's causing there's a double problem. Number one, we suffer. By being distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are losing out the benefit of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two, we don't understand this. This is beyond us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels pain. When a child is not following the ways of the parent, in many respects, has more pain than the child. That their children are not following in the ways of the parent does not connect to his child. And the child suffers because he's not connected. Repentance is a double benefit. It's a benefit to the parent, and it's a benefit to the child. Sin is, there's a double harm that is in sin. There's a harm to the parent, and harm to the child. When we go away from Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Shuvuvan, and these exact same words, Banim Shevavim, it's painful to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anochi Bo'alti Eschem. I am your creator. I am your master. And when you're not following my will, I have pain. And on the other hand, Hashem says, I will heal you. You are also suffering from distancing yourself from me. So that's really what these weeks are all about. It's about doing tshuva, not just for our benefit, it's for the benefit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two different aspects, two different dimensions in Shevavim. There's Shevavim from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Ba'alti Yaschem, and there's Shevavim from the aspect of Klal Yisrael, from their perspective, that we need to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our own benefit. Okay, now as we mentioned, this refers to these psukim. It refers to the custom is to follow this during the weeks from starting from Shemos to Parashas Mishpatim, the Rosh Hashanah Shavavim. What is this all about? Now, first of all, this idea of doing tshuva, of fasting, does not appear anywhere in the Talmud, does not appear anywhere in the Midrashim, does not appear anywhere in the writings of the Goinim. The first time it appears in writing is in the time of the very end of the Tkufa of the Rishonim. During the 13th, beginning of the 14th century, is the first time we find a mention of this idea of doing tshuva during this time period, which is about 700 years ago. And there it appears, the reason why we it's a time to do tshuva, because these months we are distant from the kedusha of the Moadim. Let's explain. The times of the year when Hashem sends down a blessing, sends down kedusha, are the Moadim. Pesach, Sukkot, Pesach and Shavuos, Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. In between Pesach, in between Sukkot and Pesach, we have Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Adar. Plus another month, half of the month of, part of the month of Tishrei, and half of the month of Nisan. So that is 4 Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, Adar. 5 plus another, about 6 months. Because you have about the end, the tail end of Tishrei, plus half of the month of Nisan. So it is almost 6 months in between the time that we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Sukkot and the time we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Pesach. That's a long period of time. To go away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Moadim, from the Kedusha, of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Aliyah LeRegel, and the Shefa that comes to the Moadim, is such a long period of time. We have to take time out in the middle of the winter. This period of time is exactly right smack in the center. And remember, you know, this Ribbono Shel Olam, the famous one of the big Rashivas, they were learning Torah, they were sitting and learning the Hasmad Rabbah the entire day, and the Rashivi gets up in the Beis HaMikdash, he gives a clap on the beam, and he tells him, the Talmidim, don't forget, you're learning Torah, don't forget this Ribbono Shel Olam. You can be immersed the whole day in learning Torah, but you have to remember there's a Creator. To whom you're learning? Same thing, it's a very long time period, and therefore we have to focus on doing tshuva. So Chanukah and Purim are not the same level. They are rabbinic. It's not the Moadim of Pesach and Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur are biblical holidays. It's true, we have Chanukah, we have Purim, but those are on a lower level. Those are only rabbinic holidays. So we need to supplement the Kedusha of Chanukah and Purim by also doing tshuva during this time. Now, in fact, from the earliest sources, it's brought down that the only time they really practice tshuva is in the leap year. Because in the leap year, when you have a double Adar, then it's almost 7 months. And that is the majority of the year. When we have like a year like this, so therefore in between Pesach and Shavuot, the time from Pesach to Sukkot, Sukkot to Pesach, it's not the majority of the year. Most of the year, from the time that we're involved in the mitzvot teraisa of the Shalosh Regalim, and Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's the majority of the year. But the gap in between the end of Sukkot and Pesach is the minority of the year, so we don't have to be concerned. The minute primarily started to do tshuva in a leap year, because in a leap year we have a double adar, and then it's almost 7 months most of the year that we go without coming into contact with a aliyah l'regel, a tkufa, we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a biblical level, and therefore we need to do tshuva. As an extension of practicing a time of tshuva during the leap year, it became the custom, why not, we will do tshuva every single year during this time period of Shemos, Erebo, B'Shalach, Yisrael, Mishpatim, and so on and so forth. So basically the point is that the earliest source for this is from the time of the late Rishonim. And it's brought down the reason why we do during these time. We'll discuss some of the minhagim, what exactly is done during this period of time. Basically we do tshuva. It's tshuva not for any particular sin. We're going to still see the Arizal. The Arizal has an entirely different approach to what this thing is all about. But from the earliest Rishonim, it has nothing to do with any specific Aveira. It's just a general time of the year to do tshuva. It was primarily instituted in years that were leap years, because leap years are very long winters. We're very distant from Kedusha. We need to be mechazik ourselves. Only those years did we do tshuva. As an extension, it evolved over time. Why only in a leap year? Let's also do tshuva in years that are not leap years. Yeah.
I guess I'm trying to understand the historical perspective.
Yeah.
Why, if in the times of the Gemara, they didn't institute it? times at a garden that it needs to suddenly.
All of a sudden, you're right. Okay, so it's a very good question. There are two answers. Either they did have it; it's just not put in writing, which is a little bit of a stretch. They did have such a concept doing tshuva during this time period. The Gemara, not everything is recorded in the Gemara. There are gaps in the Gemara. Not every minhag is recorded, but there were definitely things that were done in the time of the Gemara, and we don't have it. Why did the Goyim make any mention of it? It's a very good question. Or there was no need for it. People were on a much higher spiritual level, and there was no need. Niskadnu hadaros, galus, things became weaker. We much were influenced by the goyim. We found ourselves much more distance from serving Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we have a very long winter going from Sukkot to Pesach, 7 months. Who knows? People will come to shul on Pesach. In those days, not everyone came to the shul every single day. On Shabbos, you come, Yom Tov, I'll see you next Yom Tov. Go 7 months, who says you'll come back? I mean, I remember as a child, Lower East Side, Rosh Hashanah, people I never knew were religious. All of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah, you're religious?
You're Jewish?
Not religious, take it out. You're Jewish? I see these kids, we used to play ball in the parks. We used to play baseball, there were not many from kids playing baseball, and we used to play with all the Goyim. And we thought they were goyim. Came Rosh Hashanah, they're dressed in a suit. Okay, they're wearing these funny yarmulkes. You're Jewish? I can't believe it. The biggest shock was that someone actually showed up in the shtiebel. One of the kids I used to play with showed up in the shtiebel. His father was a son of one of the balabatim of the shtiebel. His son wasn't very religious. But over time, every year, less and less, and probably the last year I live on the Lower East Side in Rosh Hashanah, nothing. All these people disappeared. When you go a whole year from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, the only time you come to shul is Rosh Hashanah. When you pass through 12 months, you don't do anything the entire year. When it comes next year, Rosh Hashanah, you know what? Forget who's interested in religion, I'm not going to come back. Same idea, and it's true on a smaller scale. When you go 7 months from Sukkot to Pesach, you're not practicing anything religious or not practicing religion on a high level, you'll forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, there was a need for there to be this thing called Shevavim. Again, it was only instant leap years. It became a minute to do this in every single year. Now, let's jump ahead. What happened about 200 years later? Okay, so now we're going to the time of the Arizal. The Arizal lived about 420, 30 years ago. We're jumping ahead. What?
Did you mention who started
it? The Chuma Sadeshan, the Leket Yosher. The first record is from the Leket Yosher. The Leket Yosher is a Talmud of the Chuma Sadeshan. The tail end of the Tkufa of the Rishonim, about the beginning of the 13th, the mid 13th century, 14th century. End of the 13th century, beginning of the 14th century. So this is when we have over here the first record of there being a custom of Shevavim, only in reference to doing tshuva in general. About 250 years later, came along the Arizal, and he was mefarsem, Shevavim, this is a big thing. You have to practice Shevavim, and you have to focus on one very specific sin. The sin of thoughts of Arayos. I should say Arayos, thoughts relating to Noshim. No one, no person, no human can perfectly control his mind, and every person's mind wanders, and the person has thoughts of noshim, which can lead to other forms of sins, things all along that level. The purity of the machshav, to purify one's thoughts, one's mind, to control what one looks at, and all things related to this category of hirhurim with regard to noshim, that he should not be thinking about and looking at and so on and so forth. This became the focus of the Arizal. And it became a very, very big thing among Hasidim, Al Hayom Hazeh, and that became the focus of Shevavim. Now how does that relate to these parashos? This is a very fascinating concept of Shemos Ve'era Bo B'Shalach, because here, and this is a Kabbalistic thing, and this is the Arizal, and that's why probably most of Litvisha, all of us, are totally not even familiar with this thing called Shevavim. It's more of a Hasidish thing, because in these parashos, Parashat Shmos, we find the Perach, the Avodas Perach of the people of Mitzrayim began. Klal Yisrael came to Mitzrayim. When we go through the Parashios, we're not just reading Jewish history. We are reliving history. When we come to Parashat Yisro, we are reliving Matan Torah. We relive Matan Torah Shavuos, but we live Matan Torah when we come to Parashas Yisrael. When we go to Parashas Shemos Ve'erah Bo B'Shalach, we are reliving the Shibud Avodas Perach of serving in Mitzrayim. So it says in Sefer Kabbalah, okay, this is the Ulfim Arizal, is that the people who were living in this time were somehow connected, their neshamas were connected to four previous generations. There were people who lived in the time of Dor Enosh, time of the creation of the world, and there were people that lived, they were recycled, whatever this means, the time of the Mabul. And then they were recycled again the time of the Dor HaFlaga, and recycled again the time of Sodom. So the dealing of here with people, and these are Kabbalistic and we don't know what it means, but there are people, there are neshamos that came to this world already four times. Dor Enosh, Dor Mabul, Dor HaFlaga, and the people of Sodom. One thing they all had in common was this sin that the Arizal focuses on. Chazal tell us that one of the reasons why the Mabul was boiling hot water, they sinned with something hot. The Moitzei Shechva Zer Levatala, which in Chazal's term is something which is called Reicha Sin. Therefore, they were punished in the Mabul with boiling hot water. Therefore, now when they came to Mitzrayim, they suffered Choymer Ulevenim. They were these neshamos that came once again during these weeks of Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, B'Shalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, until they were purged from their sin. So we reenact what happened to them, and we also purify ourselves and do tshuva and try to perfect or work on ourselves in these matters. And he says the Arizal is something amazing. That's what it means. I don't know if it's the Arizal or the Talmud, the Arizal. V'chamushim olu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. What does it mean, chamushim? One-fifth. V'chamushim also means five. This was the fifth time around. And the fifth time around, they succeeded in purging themselves from their sins of the four times. The first four tkupas of this, let me learn Kabbalah. Just learn very simple. There were four periods of history which were very bad. Dor Enosh, Dor Mabul, Dor Haflaga, the Dor of Stone. These are four periods in world history where people sinned against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very horrible way. And now, in the time of Mitzrayim, people, they were purged, they suffered, and through their suffering, they atoned for, they learned the lessons from the past, and now they have been atoned for their sins. V'chamushim, the fifth time around, olu v'nei Yisrael, they ascended from their limitations. Mitzrayim means a netzar, a boundary limitation. No longer are they under the control of their minds and eyes and hearts. People have matured to a degree of freedom, of chairus, where they are in control of their feelings, and they no longer are forced, are compelled to commit sins that their predecessors in the first four generations sinned. The world matured, people became more sophisticated, and were given the tools to control their thoughts, their mind, and so on and so forth. So this is all from the Arizal, and therefore the Arizal says that's what we should focus on during this period of time. And in fact, among the Hasidim, you see signs, look at the newspapers all over the place, that this is a time of the year when many people give shiurim and hilchas nida. This is a time of the year that's dedicated, even among Ashkenazim, when they have a shiurim to learn Yoredeya, to learn these in Yanim, to focus on these matters. So this is the approach of the Arizal. So you have really two different approaches. You have the approach from the Rishonim, which has nothing to do with this concept. It's purely a time to do tshuva because you can't go for such a long time period without doing tshuva. The Arizal is a whole different approach. Now, what do you do during these days? So there are different customs. So some have the custom, the Rizal says you have to fast 40 days, non-stop. 40 days, which means, starting from Shemos, if you count the calendar days until you come to Mishpatim, if you don't, with not including Shabbos, not including Rosh Chodesh, not including Tu B'Shvat, and the days that you're not allowed to fast, you basically would fast every single day during this time period, and you come out with approximately 40 days. That obviously is not the custom. Not even in olden days was not the custom. What they would do is they would fast Monday and Thursday. And even that was watered down to fasting once a week. The custom, it seems that the main custom was to fast only on Thursday. Why on Thursday? So from the Arizal, because Thursday is, as it says, really, well, some would fast really on Friday, because Friday when Adam was created, that's the time when Hashem gave Adam Harishon a brach of Peru Urivu. But being that Friday is not an ideal time to fast because it's Erev Shabbos, so the custom in ancient times was to fast on Thursday. And Thursday is also where it says in the Torah Peru Urivu for fish. The Yidgu Leroy Bekerev Haaretz, so that's really brach from last week's parasha. But there the Hashem gave a brach of Peru Urivu, so since on Thursday is a day of Peru Urivu, that's the time a person should do tshuva and a person should fast on Thursday. There are other customs, some have the custom to alternate. One week you fast Monday, the next week you fast Thursday. One week you go back and forth. Some have the custom to fast every week a different day of the week. The first week you would fast on Sunday. The second week you fast on Monday. The third week you fast on Tuesday. The next week you fast on Wednesday. And then you go in a circle, you do this for 6 weeks. So all different customs. Some have the custom that instead of fasting a whole day, they would just fast for a few hours. Time is shows. Just for an hour or two to focus. Some have the custom. The best thing is instead of fasting food, fast by time is diva. Some are very big into this. That you should focus on fasting part of the day during Shavuot. Time is diva. That is the ultimate discipline. If you can control your mouth, you can control your mind, you control your eyes, you control everything about your body. However, most of the Gedolei Yisrael, they say don't fast, don't focus on fasting. The Iker is to learn Torah. And they all quote the Rambam. The Rambam says that thoughts, evil thoughts, only blossom in a mind that's void of Torah. If a person were to focus with the spend, and will fill up his mind with Chochmah, with Torah, his mind is occupied with Chochmah, then there's no makom for these thoughts to get into a person's mind. He will not have any trouble. And in fact, out of this grew a minog. Another minhag is where people would attempt to focus. The difference of learning the time of Shavuot from the entire year round was to try to learn hours, consecutive hours. If the whole year you go to a shir, now here, now there, 2 hours here, now there, during Shavuot there was an effort to learn 3 hours straight. 4 hours straight. You see, in yeshiva, sometimes they try to bribe talmidim. We'll pay you if you'll be able to sit and learn 3 hours nonstop without any breaks, without going out to take a cup of coffee, without schmoozing, to learn consecutive periods of time. That is a much greater intense religious experience. This is an outgrowth of shavuot. Really comes from Shavuot, because that's what it was during this attempt to learn consecutive time was practiced during the time of Shavuot. There's also a minhag to say Tehillim during the time of Shavuot. And in fact, the minhag really is to say Shavuot Friday morning is the ideal time when the custom was to say Shavuot, because Friday was the day when Hashem said Peru Urivu. Now let me just tell you another very interesting vart relating to Shavuot. It's more of a drush that every single Yomtif, if we were to take notice, we have a period of Teshuvah. For example, Sukkot. Sukkot is a very holy Yomtif, 8 days of Sukkot, but what comes before Sukkot? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's a tkufa, not only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Elul. Starting from the middle of the summer, we right away we gear up to do tshuva, and the tshuva culminates, I mean it's all part of the process of after we succeed in doing tshuva and we have kapar savanas, we then take our weapons of victory, the little vinesh, and we come into Sukkot. So Sukkot clearly is preceded by a tkufa of tshuva, very intense period of tshuva. Shavuos, learned from the Daf Yomi, what happened before Shavuos? There was a mitzvah of Hagbalah, which is a form of tshuva, and then Prisha. Every man had to separate himself from his wife. Also, a degree of preparation for Kabbalah Satara. There was a tshuva period, which involved Hagbalah and Prisha before Shavuos. What about Pesach? Nishchu Lochem, we take the Karban Pesach on the 10th day. Nishchu Lochem, I forgot the psukim, but you would take the Karban Pesach. Taking the Karban Pesach represents remove Avodah Zarah. Beer chametz. Clean your house out of chametz. The chametz is the Yetzahara. You spend 30 days removing the chametz. You spend time preparing the Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach represents the Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim. You tie it to your bed. You withdraw from Avodah Zarah in preparation to coming to Yitzias Shem, preparation to coming to the Gilu Shechina that appears on the Yom Tov of Pesach. Okay, so all of the Moadim are preceded by Tshuva. Again, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Shavuos, Hagbalah, and Prisha, and Pesach of Bir Chametz, and Mishku Lechem, Min Avodah Zarah, with the preparation of Karban Pesach. Even Purim. What do we have before Purim? Purim we have Lech Kinosis Kol HaYehudim Hanim Sim Bishushan Vitzumu Olav Yal Teuch Vyal Tishu Shloishas Yom Lail V'Yom. We have Tainus Esther. Every single of the Moadim always said, there's only one exception, Chanukah. Think about it. Chanukah is the only festival in the year that is not preceded by a period of tshuva. Every other moed has a significant hachana before we come to the moed. The only exception is Chanukah. Nothing. You just come in, the 25th day of Kislev, take out the menorah, the Chanukah, we spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks on Chanukah, the Kedusha of Chanukah. What do you do to prepare for Chanukah? Nothing. Zero. How could that possibly be? The answer is, that's exactly what Shoivim is. Chanukah is different. The Tshuva comes afterwards. After Chanukah, Chanukah was the contamination of the Neshama. There's nothing you can possibly do to prepare for Chanukah. Chanukah was a gift. We mentioned this many times. This is between Purim and Chanukah. Purim, you spin the grager. Where do you hold the grager? From below. Chanukah, you spin the dreidel. Where do you spin the dreidel? From on top. Chanukah was a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down an influence of Kedusha to Klal Yisrael. Chanukah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu woke up Klal Yisrael. After Chanukah, now begins the process of Teshuvah. Shoivavim is the time when we do Teshuvah after realizing how far we have fallen, how distant we are from Kodesh Baruch Hu, after we go through the experience of Chanukah. And in fact, before I should go further, say, what was Chanukah? Yavan. What is Yavan? Yavan was all taiva. Yavan was pure gashmis. There's no spirituality. A person should follow his base desires. Yaft elakim liyafes. Person should focus on beauty. Only focus on the externals. They would sports. It represents the excitement. It represents they would perform without any clothing. It represents pure taiva. Chanukah is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspired us to realize that's a mistake. That's not the way to go. It's not proper to focus on your base desires. You have to realize there has to be some discipline. There has to be some kedusha. You have to sanctify yourself. After Chanukah, we now first do tshuva. So it's not that Chanukah is a yom that does not have any tshuva. Pumfakert. Chanukah is the only one of the moadim where the tshuva follows the Yom Tov. Although the Moadim, the Tshuva precedes the Moed. Chanukah, after Chanukah, we have the process of Shavuot where we do Tshuva. Another very interesting thing I saw a sefer in the Satmar Rebbe, Satmar Rav, came to America. It probably goes back 50, 60 years. So in those days, there were no Hasidim, there was nothing. His first Hasidim did not even wear Strimlach. No one, they came to America, they told the Satmar Rebbe, in America, it's different. In America, we're not going to practice Tznata, Satmar. We're not going to practice Hasidus. So he had to work very hard to convince his Hasidim, no, in America, we're not going to be any different than we were in Satmar. And there's a story, a very fascinating story, that he was, when he first came to America, he was sitting by a Shabbos. It was Shabbos Shabbos, one of these Shabbosos. Okay, one of those other things, Shabbosim, Shabbosos. He was sitting by the table, and he was talking, and he was saying over Shoivavim Torah. He was saying over Torah like this, about Shoivim. So one of the Hasidim said, you know, it's one thing you come to America. You don't even belong in America. Another thing, you're coming here, you're wearing a strimel in America here in the 90s, whatever it was, 1940s, in a Bekesha. But in America, one thing is for sure. It's not a place to talk Shoivavim Torah. This type of Torah to talk about doing tshuva for the Arizal, Machshava is Bechoymer Uvalvenim Yitzias Mitzrayim. No way. This is way off the top, way over the top. You're sitting here, Shoivavim Torah. So you tell me, making a big mistake. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Klal Yisrael here in America, and in America, the Nisyonis, this is the 1940s, you can imagine what he would say if he went on the bus today. Well, times have changed quite a bit. But even though you're in America, and America, you can't control your eyes, you can't control your thoughts, it's a whole different world, it's a whole different environment. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Klal Yisrael here in America, Hashem has given us the koyach. He wants us to take it on. He wants us to tackle this nisayon. It's not easy, obviously, but it's not something that you should. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come. What's the word?
Doesn't give us something that we can't handle.
We can't handle. There's an expression, Chazal. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not try to call, is not going to bring us to America that we should fail even in these very delicate matters. And Hashem does not put us in America in something which we're not able to take on, to handle, to grow from. And even though it seems very far from us to focus on during these weeks, that a person should be more careful, and every person on their level of what they look at and what they think about and so on and so forth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even certainly in America where it's very difficult just to go on a bus, to go online, to do whatever you do, you're always involved in the Sionos. Hashem wants us to overcome these nisyonos, and it's not something you should put away. And he made a very strong impression on his chassidim, because they were laughing at him. Like, this? Even this you don't want to do in America? Even shayvim? This is a joke. It's bizarre enough to dress differently and to have, you know, your strange customs in America. But even to talk, say, Avar on the parasha, to talk about shayvim? No. There's something to shayvim as well for us, every person on their level, to grow from, even here in America. Okay. A few other things. Now, by the way, Lubavitch, they're not into this. Lubavitch, in all of the Sfarim of Lubavitch, there's no mention whatsoever of shayvim. They are of the opinion that, the Lubavitch Rebbe appears to be of the opinion that this was something, this is a Kabbalistic inyanim, which were needed for ancient times, for people in previous generations, and whatever needed to be rectified was rectified. It's something which in order to fast and to do tshuva on the levels that were needed to accomplish what this is all about, was already done by the previous generations. And for our generation, it's already over. This whole thing is not necessary, and person should not focus on this at all, it appears. So in Lubavitch, this is not a topic at all. It's not discussed. But Kleisenberg, someone told me in a bar, Kleisenberg is a very big thing on every Thursday they all come together, they fast. In fact, there are certain special tefillos, some have special, the special anenu that is set, a special anenu that you say on a fast day. There's a special anenu that's said when you fast Pinus Shavavim. And that is said by I think Kleisenberg. They come together on every Thursday during these 6 weeks of Shmoyz, Ereboba, Shalchis, and Shpatim. They all, it's a meeting, and they all come together, and they fast, some of them fast, and they say these special tefillos. Okay, there are some very interesting remazim. For example, the pasuk, the Eila Shmos Bnei Yisrael Haboy Mitzrayimah. So the first letters of the first, besides the fact that the names of the parish, the first pasuk, the Eila Shmos, the first letters spell out Shoyevim if you ignore the letter Hey. He's the letter Haboim. The Hey of Haboim is not part of the actual word. That's a word, that's the letter that's Mishamish. So the Eila, Vav, Shemo, Shin, Bnei, Yisrael, the Yud, Boim, the base, Mitzrayma, spell out Shoivavim. Shoivavim, so there is something, there is a remez right in the beginning of the parsha. Okay, let me just make sure I got everything I wanted to tell you. I'm just about done. Give me 1 second, I will hear a few more things. Okay, so this is also a very interesting thing. Going back to the Rishonim explain that this thing of Shoivim has nothing to do with Arizag, and it's very important to keep in mind. It's very unique in Minog, when you have a Minog that's two completely different avenues, where Bnei Ashkenaz, it's just a time to do tshuva. Simple as that. There's no sin, it's nothing to do with hear her, nothing to do with anything, it's a very long time of the year, you're going from Sukkot to Pesach, do tshuva, just don't go for a long period of time. And as we mentioned, primarily when did the custom start? It started not in a regular year like this year, it started in a leap year. So as an expansion of this idea, it's sort of from the Shlah, beautiful Shlah. The Shlah says, why did it in a leap year? Because in the leap year is where you get a sense that there's a discrepancy between the moon and the sun. Right? Our year is a lunar solar year. We have to match up. There are 12 cycles of the moon. The moon goes around the earth 12 times, which is approximately a year. And the sun, the earth goes around the sun once. So pretty much the cycle of the moon, the 12 cycles of the moon correspond to the cycle of the sun. Now we know that it's not true. There's a discrepancy. In fact, they said in Chazal, we had not so long ago, 3 years ago, Birchas Hachama, the cycle of the sun is 28 years. And there's something called in Chazal the cycle of the moon, which is 19 years. You know that a person's birthday every 19 years is going to be, the Hebrew and the English are exactly the same. That relates to the moon. That relates to the cycle of the moon. So there's a cycle of the moon, which is 19 years, and there's a cycle of the sun, which is 28 years. They're not exactly the same. When did this discrepancy come about? It came about in Maaseh Bereishis when the moon complained to Hashem. How could it be that I, myself, and the sun and I are of the same size? Ein shnei melachim mishamshim kesarecha. So the moon complained. When the moon complained to Hashem, Hashem said to the moon, "Go, be ma'ati, make diminish yourself." When the moon complained to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the bigger picture of things, this is like a typical shavar from the shlaw, that introduced into the world this concept of strife. Everything was peaceful. Hashem created a world. There was vegetation. There were luminaries. There were all these different things. And now all of a sudden, for the very first time, we got a problem. We got a problem here. Ein shnei melachim mishamshim mekeserecha. This was the introduction of machloikas. And because of that machloikas, Hashem told the moon, okay, diminish yourself. Make yourself smaller. There are going to be two different cycles. A cycle of the sun, 28 years, and the cycle of the moon, which is 19 years. And every couple of years will have to be a leap year in order to match up, to make sure the moon and the sun, they coincide, so we can have a lunar solar calendar. Chodesh Aviv, Pesach will fall on Chodesh Aviv. In a year that's a leap year, it's very noticeable. It's very tangible. Machlokes. Because in a regular year, look, there are 12 months, and the sun, the earth goes around the sun, so they're approximately the same. It's not so noticeable, the discrepancy between the moon and the sun. In a year that's a leap year, is a year where it's noticeable, wow, we got a problem here. We got a moon, it's doing its thing, and we got a sun that's doing its thing, and they don't match. And we have to make some type of reconciliation by adding another month to bring the two back together once again. It's pronounced, the machloikis between the moon and the sun. And that pronouncement of machloikis, we don't know, realize how, this is a var from the shlo, of course, it trickles down to us. It trickles down to the human being where we also have complaints. We also want to fight. We also want to say, it's not fair. Why does he get this and I get that? This is machloikis. The trickle-down effect of machloikis all comes from the complaint of the moon against the sun, and that complaint is pronounced in a leap year. Therefore, in a leap year, we have to work on ourselves a little bit more. We have to do tshuva to rectify any machloikis. And that's why the B'nai Ashkenaz, this in of doing tshuva, wasn't because of the Arizal's Kabbalistic type of tshuva. It's a simple tshuva. Ben Adam Lachavero. Where does it come from? Well, look at the moon and the sun. There's a discrepancy. We have to eat another month. Why? Because the moon complained. And Hashem said, oh, this is machloikis. And that comes down to us. That's where it all started. Okay, once we started doing tshuva during the leap year, so we also did tshuva during years that are not leap year. So that word comes from the shlo. Okay, so I pretty much, I think we got everything. Let me make sure just anything left I wanted to tell you. Okay, I think we got pretty much everything. Have a wonderful day. Take care.